Lord, you truly are great. How we thank you and how we praise your name, and thank you for allowing us to gather once again and, Lord, to come into your presence. Your presence is everywhere, but as we gather together, there's just a special presence of you being in us and shining through each of us as a temple of your Spirit. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us this morning once again as we first look at your word, and then as we go to prayer. So may you be glorified in each heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing on through the Psalm 119, I want you to just look at your notes for a few minutes. I don't necessarily like to spend time in the notes, but really look at the word. But just to kind of make it a little more clear what this acrostic business is about and the miracle of what the Holy Spirit has put together here in Psalm 119, as you look through your notes, you'll see some words with very large font. That's the word that begins with the Hebrew letter of that particular stanza. For example, Gimel, in beginning in verse 17, deal bountifully. Bountifully is the word that begins with Gimel. And in the Hebrew, this is always the first word in the phrase, but as we translate in the English, you know, we add some different things to it so we can understand it better. So here, rather than just say bountifully, we have it in English, deal bountifully. And in verse 2, there we have the open my eyes. The open is the gimel in that particular verse. And some verses have more than one, but most of these just have one verse. The third verse is I am stranger. Stranger is the gimel in that particular verse. And the fourth verse, verse 20, my soul breaks. So in the Hebrew, it would be more like breaks with longing is my soul. But, you know, in English, we have the subject first and then the predicate and then the object typically in construction. In many languages, particularly in Middle East languages, it is the verb first and then the subject is last or whatever it is, if it's a little different. And verse 21, rebuke is the word there. And then verse 22, remove. And then the last two verses, the word is also. So often we have also beginning a verse too, if we as a conjunction, but princes also speak against me, or your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And then on into verse 25, we now switch to another eight verses, and this is Dalet. So one of the things you will see is dalet in the word. The word is debar, but we have a lot of words in the gospel, in the scripture, in the psalm here as well. And so we're even going to begin by singing your word, because that is your dalet. A dalet begins with word, is a lamp unto our feet. And then we have ways. Ways is Derek. We've had that before. That would be, could be a road. It'd be the way you came in this morning. It was the way you came. So I've declared my ways. So that gives you a little bit of a grasp on what the alphabet is all about. But I don't want to get too hung up on the alphabet, because we just want to see what the Lord is speaking to us in these verses, regardless of the language we're in. But that was just a way of highlighting that these words are indeed, as you would know, in the Hebrew in every verse. And when you can make a meaningful phrase out of every letter in the alphabet, like is in Psalm 119, it can only be done by the Holy Spirit. That's what God does for us. So let's begin this morning just by again singing this same song we sang last week. The debar is a lamp unto my feet. And so let us sing that together, if we may.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the
As we look at Psalm 119 once again, looking at the third and fourth stanza. Last week we did the Aleph and the Beit. Today we do the Gimel and the Dalet. And in the Gimel we have bountifully as the first word in the Gimel beginning, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. And I believe that deal bountifully, of course, is a prayer. That's asking the Lord to deal bountifully with us. Now, is it because we are doing so much, or is it because he is so great? I don't think I've done anything that I could request him to deal bountifully because of what I've done, but because of what he is and what he has done. Deal bountifully with your servant. In other words, that's you are a blessing, God, and we say, bless me, bless me. Why? That I may live and keep your word. So that is the request for the blessing, right? To deal bountifully, that I may live and keep your word. Are you living? Are you really living? Too many Christians are walking almost dead. They may be saved, but there's no real life coming out of them. So we want to be living for him, right? And keeping his word. And those two go together. If we keep his word, we will be living. And if we're not keeping his word, there's not going to be much life in us, is there? And then the next verse is such a great verse. Vernon McGee opened his program with that verse for years. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And in speaking of the law, we think really of his word here. That's really Torah, the first five books. But the Bible is much more than that. And it's 66 books, isn't it? So we see here, open my eyes. So what does that mean? Well, it's obviously not just to look and pass by glancing. It means to, when we have his word, to really let it come into us, really come into us. Open my eyes, not just that I can glance, but I can really see into your word, into your word. So wondrous things from your law. Yes, his word is filled with wondrous things. And verse 19, I am a stranger. Stranger is the Gimel word there. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do you feel like a stranger in the earth? Oh, I hope so. If you're comfortable with what's going on around you, then you better get on your knees and get right with the Lord, because there's no way you could feel like you're at home here when you think of what's really going on and the fact that we've been born again, not born again to finish this life in this tent. We've been born again to live forever with him, right? And this is just a very brief prelude to that, as we know. But in the world around us, this is all they have, and so this is it, you know. Grab the gusto now, and, you know, whatever. But that is a sad thing, isn't it? But I'm a stranger in the earth, in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Don't let me get lost from your word with all the noise and all the distractions and all the deception that's going on around us. And then my soul breaks. Breaks is the Gemara word here. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. When you pick up the, I don't know, we pick up papers anymore. I don't know, anybody ever take a paper anymore? Maybe some people do. We haven't had any papers for years, but we don't pick up the paper anymore, but I still see it. When you pick up the paper, when you read the papers, when you read your screen or whatever you read, I looked very quickly at the news this morning. It doesn't take but about 5 seconds to scan it and see there's nothing good there. Just turn it off, right? But, you know, if it's some war breaking out in the north or something or other, you know. So my soul breaks with longing for your judgment. Don't we want to see his judgment come? And but remember this, I want everybody else judged. I don't want myself judged. I want mercy, right? So be a little bit careful about being too harsh on bringing God's judgment on. Now, if it's blaspheming God and if it's in his face, absolutely. But if it's something you don't like personally, that's not the time to be calling for judgment on the other person, right? But my soul breaks with longing for your judgments. It's his judgments. Because judgment's coming. Yeah. Judgment's coming. The world is so ripe and getting riper and riper, right? Remember, we used to say, well, whenever they would flaunt, for example, homosexuality like they did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that was in. Well, how many years have we been flaunting that now in this nation? Flying the homosexual pride flag over all of our embassies and all of that stuff. I mean, that is pretty flaunting, isn't it? I think it is. But my soul breaks with longing, yes. And now 21, rebuke the proud. We can't probably get through a study without talking about pride, because pride is like the numero uno sin in our lives, really. Remember in Proverbs where it says, 7 things I hate, and the first one is what? A proud look. And so here, you rebuke. God rebukes the proud, the cursed, who strays. So God says, he is going to rebuke the proud, the cursed, who what? Stray from his commandments. So it's not a good thing to stray from the commandments of God and to be proud. And then 22, this is such a good thing for us, for me. Remove from me reproach and contempt. In other words, any part of me that's against or hard heart or whatever else, reproach and contempt, particularly for against him or against his word, remove it from me. And then on the opposite of that is, for I have kept your testimonies. I've kept your testimonies. And when I say that and when you say that, it's all in degrees. Yeah, I've kept part of his testimonies, part of the time, part of my heart. But there's always that to keep his what he wants with all my heart, right? And then 23 also is the Gimel word there in the last two verses. Princes also sit and speak against me. You seen any princes speaking against the Lord lately? Like 99 out of 100 pretty much. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. So when you see these princes speaking against the Lord, I know you have some righteous anger, that's good, but also do you come back around and can you say, but I'm actually meditating on your word, Lord. I'm meditating on your word. That means I'm thinking it through and I'm putting it all into perspective and recognizing we're going to have wars and rumors of wars. We're going to have earthquakes. We're going to have pestilences, and also we're going to have deception. But we need to keep our minds on his word. And then the last verse in the stanza is, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. How true is that for, can you say that? His word is delightful to you, and it is what you follow for wisdom and for all things. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So again, as you can see in every one of these verses, there's a whole sermon, if you will, in that verse alone. And Most of them kind of stand alone. Some of them are connected, but most of them are a whole message in themselves. And then we go to the fourth letter, which is the Dalet. And there the first word is clings. And then we have way. We have four ways in here. Those are all, Derek is the word there, starts with the Dalet. My soul clings to the dust. Now keep in mind how we start this stanza and how we end the stanza, because there's a tremendous difference between the beginning and the end. Here you're saying, my soul clings to the dust. So what does that say? Well, from dust I came, to dust I will return, right? Isn't that kind of what we're talking about, life here? We're all talking about a lot of prayers to keep people from turning to dust. I mean, you know, really heal them, right? But my soul clings to the dust. I'm on my way to dust in these bodies. As soon as a baby is born, it's on its way to dust, right? So my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. And then verse 26, I have declared my ways. I have declared the path I'm on. Is your path very obvious to all those around you, what path you're on? You're on his path? Are you on kind of neutral ground? I'm not against Jesus, but you know, I really don't want everybody to know that I'm his. I'll keep it low key so I don't bother those people. No, I think we need to declare our ways. I declared my ways and you answered me. So when we walk with him, for him, and of him, he answers us. He answers our declaration. And then the request, teach me, teach me, teach me your statutes. How true that is. I mean, we can memorize this whole psalm and still not understand any of it, really. I mean, just words, or is it really, teach me? That means let what's here come into here and here, right? Into the mind and into the heart. Teach me your statutes. Let it make a difference in my life, Lord. And going on the same idea, make me understand. Make me understand the way, there it is again, the derek, the way of your precepts. Everything has a way, doesn't it, really? And the word of God is the way. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Why? So shall I, or, and this is what I'm going to do, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. So since we met last Saturday, how many minutes or hours would you say that you spent meditating on his wonderful works, on his word? And I'm not asking for a verbal answer, because that's between you and the Lord. Otherwise, we would have everybody said, well, I spent 24 hours a day. Well, I don't think that's probably true. I spent 24 minutes. I don't think that's true. I spent 24 seconds. Well, that may be true, right? But so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. And then continuing on, my soul clings to the dust here is my soul melts from heaviness. It's really easy to get a heavy feeling, isn't it? You start thinking about Israel and you hear some of these songs. We played a couple of them this morning earlier, and they're just so full of life and vibrancy. But then you see what Israel is, having rejected Jesus for 2,000 years, and it's heavy and it's sad. And it's just anti-Semitism, and it's all these kinds of things. And not for long, but it is for right now. But our soul just kind of is heavy, isn't it? Melts from heaviness. But then the cure for that is his word, strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. Word there again, Derek. Debar is a word, but starts with, I don't mean Derek, Dalet, a Dalet word. And then this is a glorious one. Remove from me the way of lying. Wow. How wide is the way of lying in my life? And you can think of some people that way is all they're on. It always seems like they're lying. Particularly some of those in office who promise everything and deliver nothing. But remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Oh, isn't that a true statement? Grant me your law graciously. Oh, how we need his grace, don't we, in everything. Grant me your law graciously. Verse 30, I have chosen the way. There's the way again. I've chosen the way of truth. So we had the way of lying. We have the way of truth. In verse 27, we had the way of your precepts. Verse before that, I've declared my ways. So way is a kind of a prominent word in this stanza because of its choice here. I've chosen the way of truth. Have you chosen that really? Have you chosen that? Yes. I've chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. And then we have this word cling again. We started with it in verse 25. Now here again it is 31. I cling. Again, it's a Dalit beginning. I cling to your testimonies, or I cleave, or I hold fast. You know, a husband is to cleave to his wife. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined together, or so cling or cleave to his wife. Here is, I cleave or cling to your testimonies. Is this word that close to you that you're clinging to it? He says, I cling to your testimonies. And then the prayer, O Lord, do not put me to shame. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I'm clinging to you. Don't put me to shame. And now notice the victory here in verse 32. We started off with, my soul clings to the dust. And now think of the answer here, or the remedy because of the word. Verse 32, I will run the course. Again, there is the path or the derrick or the street. I will run the street of your commandments, the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. So think about that, going from dust and death to life and running because of your heart has been enlarged. Isn't that great? Oh, may our hearts grow. I'm not talking about this organ. I mean, we need it to live. That's good. But I'm talking about, you know, we don't want an enlarged heart inside here. That's not always good. But how large is your heart with respect to the scripture here? It says, you shall enlarge my heart. And look back to where you were maybe early on in your Christian walk. How much bigger your heart is now than it was then? It's not where it should be, but it's not where it was either, is it? We can see the growth there. I will, and this is we've got a number of I wills in this particular psalm. And here's one in this stanza. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. So with this larger heart now for him, I should be able to run the course of his commandments more completely, right? I think so. I think the more you learn, the better off you are. And that enables you to even have more insight into other things of the word that you previously hadn't seen. Well, Father, we just thank you for these two stanzas, and each of them stands alone, and each verse stands alone, but we thank you for allowing us to have your word and to hold it, and to be able to look at this word all day long, every day, and never have it taken away from us, and may we write it in our hearts so that it cannot be taken away, no matter whether we have the physical writing in our hands or not, because that day may be coming, and may be coming soon, where we wouldn't have access to the written word or to a computer or whatever, I don't know. But we have it, and we thank you for it, and we thank you for these moments to meditate on it a bit. Now, would you please lead us in a time of just waiting on you and just being led by you as we would pray as you might lead us to pray in Jesus' name in one accord. Amen. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Let's just close here by singing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt.
Father, we do thank you for your grace, Lord. Your infinite, wonderful, matchless grace, Lord. We can say, I'm a child of God, but that's all by your grace. We can say that I am indeed born again and will live forever. That's all your grace. We can say, I love you, Lord. That's all your grace. I love your word. That's all your grace. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless each one here. May your grace shine forth in our lives, Lord, and may others see you and want you as they look at us, Lord, in that small way that we might be a reflector. In Jesus' name, amen.